sir, the possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 3,720 to 1.
Never tell me the odds.
I'm Pete Mitchell. He's Peyton Jones. And this is the Church Planner Podcast.
Hey, Church Planner, this is Pete Mitchell.
And this is Peyton Jones. And why am I hearing bluegrass music in my head at the beginning of this? Like,
I kind of wanted
ding,
to do
ding,
it.
Ding, 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 ding.
I want to do it in Spanish, actually.
Oh, okay. All right. Start over. Come on.
I don't
from
know
the
it
top.
In Spanish.
But we're gonna try because I can't even say it. Plantologia. Church plantology. Ecclesia. Or I think it's plantology. Plantologia, ecclesiologia, geologia. I don't know. I was kicked out of Spanish class.
You remember the only line I remember how to say in Spanish.
Mi dragón es muy rápido. Hey,
there you
all
go,
of our
baby.
All of our early audience knows that. But, okay, come on. We got to do it. We got to blunder through as a hola. Hola, mis amigos. Bienvenidos to... Plantologia Ecclesia Podcastia. I don't know why I deepened my voice. You know why I deepened my voice when I speak Spanish? Because when I was in Spanish class before I got kicked out tragically, which look at the compounding effect this is having today. When I was in that Spanish class, they would play these tapes, and they were like cassette tapes back in the day. They, you know, teacher put the little cassette tape in, click, hit play, and it would start off, and they go, Modelo, and it would give you a model. And the guy had this deep voice, and all the kids in the room would be like, Modelo, and then it'd be like, Hola Juan, you know, there'd be some girl with this really high pitch of voice, and we had to repeat everything back. But that guy, man. Modelo. So now when I try to speak Spanish, I do my deep voice. Plantology. Because he was the dude. He was
my Spanish teacher. You know, that's how I got Jamie as my girlfriend back then and now wife was my voice.
Ooh.
Like I called her. We must have met, right? Because I called her to ask her out and her mom answers. And, you know, her mom's like, oh, she's at work right now. You can call her at work. I'm like, dude, I'm not calling her at work. She's at work. Like, that's, you know, like, I'm not going to do it. So her mom calls Jamie and says, hey, this guy Pete just called for you. He's had a really good voice.
Ooh. Wow. Down, Gam Gam. Hey,
and the rest is history.
Come on, Gigi. You know, cool. Ooh, cool down there a second.
Hey, who would have known that if it wasn't for Gigi, Pete and Jamie would have never happened.
I don't know. This story could have been different. I kind of feel like an alternate ending could have been like, honey, if you're not going to go out with him, I am.
She was married. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Well, that would have been a tragic alternate ending in that case, breaking up a happy home. But just saying. Welcome to the Church Planner Podcast. Hopefully this is edifying today.
Dude, people are like, he's so serious on Through the Word. How did this podcast?
No, he's ever... not.
Well, that's true, right?
Okay. So, okay. Case in point on this, right? So we're doing.
Pete, we haven't seen you outside the camp in a while. What's going on? Do you remember that? You remember that from the podcast?
Yes. Oh my God.
Oh, if people are tuning in, they're like, I have no idea why they're laughing at
that. Oh, my God. Just listen to Leviticus. You'll find out why Pete was
outside. You got to go read some Leviticus, and then...
Pete doesn't get banished outside the camp as often as he would like, but, I mean, you know, he does occasionally get banished outside the camp.
So funny.
He would like just... you know, for point of interest, Pete would love to get banished out of the camp much more often.
Pete, we haven't seen you outside the camp in a while. Is everything all right there at home?
So yeah. Leviticus was a fun book to do on Through the Word, but we're editing right now the Discipology audio guides. And I told what I thought was a zinger of a joke And it was debated whether or not we keep it in. And I said,
that's
hey.
Best. That's well, just the best.
And it wasn't inappropriate. They're just like, yeah, I don't know if that's too much of a dad joke. But check it out. This is my joke. So I said,
we're still going to give people the joke. This is even better. That's what I love.
Yeah. Oh, we left it in, but the one at the end they took out. But as I tied it back in later, they're like, no, you can't get away with that. But okay. So the joke was, they say that time is, you know, it's time teaching tactics. They say that time is a healer, but I think it's actually more of a transformer. And then I go, I don't mean those like cars in the 80s that turn into robots, although that would be really cool. And because Chris and I were doing it together, Chris like, Peyton, stay back on the topic. So that was a great joke, right? I mean, it's just classic stuff that we do. And then at the end, though, after like the music comes in and it finishes, it was supposed to be where I'm like you and I talking, like when the mic's still hot, and I go, but Chris, seriously though, man, like when do you think like they will have robot cars? Because picture disciple, and it's supposed to trail off, and we have a young guy, and he's like, no, you can't do that, you know, like that's not funny, and so we took it out. But I thought it was cool.
Your young guy sounds like a real stick in the mud.
Right. That's what I'm saying. No, he's not. He's cool. But, you know, it's funny, man, because different generations have different. I mean, we're Gen Xers. We think that stuff's funny. And but he did it, you know. But
hey, that video trailer that you guys did with the airplane hangar and like you're describing discipology.
Or yeah.
Discipleship.
Yeah.
Was that was Chris, right?
Yeah, it was Chris. Yeah.
First, I was like, it kind of sounds like Chris. It kind of looks like Chris, but I'm not. Is that Chris? Like, I couldn't actually tell at first if it was or not, because I was like, it's actually a really good trailer. And I literally thought you guys got it from like Right Now Media or something like stuck.
No, no, but we haven't. No, it was Matt and Mercy from Covenant Media. They work professionally in Hollywood. So when they have gaps, they'll let us know like, hey, I got a gap. Do you want to do a project? Or we'll reach out and ask them like, hey, we got this and that. So they're great. I mean, they're professionals. So they, having them in our back pocket, like we could never afford them unless they're like, hey,
right,
we have this nonprofit, you know, we'll do it. But it's Covenant Media. They're amazing. But the next one we're going to do. So if you haven't seen the airplane hangar one, you go to discipologybook.com and you can see it. And yes, I thought Chris would be better on it than me. And then but the next one we're going to do is going to be hilarious. And it's going to be Disciple Makers Anonymous. And it's a bunch of people sitting around in a room like community hall. And they're like, yeah, I'm Peyton. You know, I'm a recovering disciple maker. I've been trying to make disciples for 6 years now. People are like, oh, you know, that's good. You go, you know, come on, stick to it. And he's like, yeah, you know, the other day it goes around to a couple people telling their story. And at the end, this guy Mike comes. They're like, Mike, we haven't seen you in a long time. How are you? And he's like, oh yeah, sorry guys, I haven't been here. I've been making disciples. And they're like, what? And they're like, he's like, yeah, man, you know, like, and after you hear these lame ideas that people are given, he goes, I just did what Jesus did. And they're like, and there's like this weird pause, and they're like, almost all at the same time, like, oh, we thought you had a real idea, because they get all hopeful, you know, when he says that. And so then it ends, and it says, instead of what did Jesus do, it crosses that out and says, or what would Jesus, it crosses out and says, what did Jesus do? Discipology. And that's cool, isn't it? It's a good commercial.
Hey, if it works, it works.
It's going to work, baby. That one's going to be good. And then I got so many funny ones that are just little, like 30 seconds long. Like we got one where someone's trying to say discipology. Disciple, la, 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 and then someone goes, I can interpret that. That's going to be one. That's our Pentecostal one.
That's funny.
Yeah, and then we got another one.
That takes a church person to understand the humor of that one.
It does. And then the other one is somebody going, disciple, la, 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 and then that guy comes on, la, 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 ha, 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 and then he goes, disciple-ology. So it's going to be great, dude. We're going to have so much fun.
Oh, see, what I love about this is it kind of doesn't matter if it helps book sales at all. It's just fun.
It's you and I doing the, hey, we're
entertaining ourselves. It's kind of like the podcast, right?
Yeah.
Couldn't give two rips if anyone listens to it. We still doing it anyway because it's fun.
We're just having fun. Dude, I couldn't believe it. Last Saturday, I was writing out thank you cards to people that, you know, helped me along the journey in the book.
Did I get an acknowledgement this time?
I don't think you're getting a special gift and card. And
I don't want a gift or a card. I want to know if I'm in the book.
You know, I can't. I think I did something this time funny about it. Yes, you're in it.
Okay, because I'm telling you.
You're in this one.
I can't promise you. Which book was it I didn't get an acknowledgement in? Was it
Reaching the Unreached? Yeah. And so you guys know, I promised him two pages in this one. So when we did the formatting, I set it up so that it was Pete at the end of one page and the beginning of the next one said Mitchell. I told him, I'll make up for it. I'll put you on two pages in this one. And so it was Pete and Mitchell. I did something funny in this one. I don't remember what it is, but I'll let it hit when it hits. But
that's the best.
I did a funny something for my brother in the book too. So I was kind of, yeah, I only did two funny things in it. So, but, yeah,
I like it. So are we going to get into the topic now?
We should. Yeah. Hey, Pete, I'm going to like lean back on my Chase lounge and you're going to be like the psychiatrist with your, you know, your notepad and you can ask me questions about my mother. Tell me about your mother.
No, I'm not.
Disciology?
Okay, there we go.
Okay.
Scott, it's time for this week's topic.
Let's get down to the nitty gritty. I wasn't good. I didn't do good that time.
Peyton.
Modelo.
Let me ask you some questions here. I'd like to, if I could be so bold, as I'd like a little insight on the thinking behind
them. Will you at some point pull your glasses down for me? Like just to, what?
Oh, I told you that's what we.
Let's talk.
Yeah, I told you that, right? Like I told you that story.
Yeah.
All right. So everybody doesn't know. All right. I'm going to tell it to you anyway, even though it's more of a visual thing because I'm wearing glasses right now because I can't see crap up close now that I'm 50. So in financial plan. Yeah, there you go, baby. Peyton just put on his glasses. So in financial planning, I was at the seminar and this guy, he goes, look, when you're sitting down with someone and he goes, I don't care if you need glasses or not. You go buy yourself a pair of glasses, even if they're just glass in there. And he goes, you know, when someone shows you, you know, where they've currently got their money, you know, and you're looking at it, he goes, this is what I want you to do. I want you to look at it and go, oh yeah, this is good right here. I like that over there. And then you pull the glasses down over your nose and you look at them in the eye and you go, but I have a few concerns. It's just like, you know, the power of, oh, but I have a few concerns.
But see, now Brooks is going to pull this on me at New Breed.
Here's how Brooks needs to do it. Brooks,
since you're listening to this. It's going to be powerful and I'm going to fall for it.
Brooks, since you're listening to this, this is how you do it. When Peyton sits you down for your review and pay bump, right? Pull your glasses down and just go, Peyton, I have a few concerns.
Ooh, with the
pay structure. Nice. I got a few concerns. And there you go. Man.
You know, I think he's already learned this from me because he says things like that. So it's don't give him any more ideas.
So no, anyway, back to your discipology book. Give me the origin story of this, man. Like,
yeah,
you did the church plantology. So, you know, what happened that caused this one to come up?
Yeah, I mean, okay. So this book, it actually came out of church plantology. I remember writing church plantology and it's supposed to be this church planting book. And the more that I'm studying, the more I'm like, oh my gosh, Paul, like I started seeing this deep dive into Paul, how much he started modeling his ministry after Jesus. And I remember saying, just, I did a little bit of work on it. There's a few things I put in there. And I remember thinking, this is groundbreaking. Like I couldn't remember ever reading anything where someone traced all that Paul learned from Jesus by talking to, let's say, Barnabas who knew Jesus, or interviewing, you know, some of the apostles in Jerusalem. But Paul started adopting Jesus's practices when he screwed up after the first missionary journey. So I was like, well, if Paul had to go back in Acts for greater multiplication to what Jesus did, what was Jesus teaching them? And that was kind of my aha with this book, was he's teaching them mobilization. Mobilization precedes multiplication. But I needed to know what specifically did Jesus hardwire and how into the disciples, because we've got this leadership pipeline problem. No more church planters are coming up. Like, they were all waiting in the wings like 10 years ago. When we built the NAM training, that's not the case anymore.
Really?
We've got a farm system problem. Yeah, we're sucking air now.
Really?
Yeah. And you know, in baseball, like, they've got the farm system, right? Where they actually farm athletes out for major leagues. And they start young, you know, they start getting them all, and the scouts go out. Like, they have this whole system that the church doesn't have, which disciple making solves. And Jesus starts with a bunch of teens. And so when I went through that chronological Bible, I mean, it was to answer the question. I didn't know I was going to write a whole nother book. I was just like, if I'm going to really train planners well, I need to make sure I'm not missing what Jesus did like Paul did. Because Paul had to learn after he was up and going second, third missionary journey. That was where I was at. I was like, all right, that's what I need to do. And that was the origin story. That's what led. When I started stringing out what Jesus did chronologically to make them into multipliers, to mobilize them, I was like, dang, this is an entire book. And to be honest, like, Plantology, I mean, still, like, I talked to a guy, head of denominational planting for the States in South America yesterday. He's like, we use your book. Like, this book Plantology has really just gone all over the world. But Discipology, man, like, it's not a niche book. Plantology is a niche. It's church planting. This is mainstream. This is different. And so, I'm so excited. This is the best thing I've ever done. And it was the hardest thing.
So is there a lot of a difference? Because I remember you saying church plantology was like a textbook, right?
Yeah.
Is there a difference in, like, the research, I don't know if it's like kind of how you're approaching the subject? Like,
yeah.
Kind of explain it to me, just because I'm curious in the sense of how church plantology looked versus how discipology is going to look.
Yeah. No, I mean, so interestingly enough, this was what was hard. Plantology, I had so many church planting books that I had to sift through to just mine the gold. And I would tell people, hey, plantology is borrowed brilliance. Obviously, it's through a first century framework, which made it a different paradigm than most of your church planting books. But I still mined the gold out and gave credit where credit was due. Like, I didn't steal ideas out of the book. It was very much a research book. And I would tell people, it's borrowed brilliance. If you like plantology, you're listening to a bunch of other people, not just me. And in this, though, it was studying Jesus as a mobilizing trainer, like a trainer of mobilizers. Like, I don't know, other than A.B. Bruce's Training of the 12, which is a dense, hard-to-read book for the modern reader, but it was done very differently. Like, it was done more thematically for him. It wasn't done chronologically. It wasn't, you know, how do we reproduce it? It didn't have the time teaching tactics framework. But what was really difficult, and I would say, Discipology, it is a trailblazing book. It is a paradigm shifter. It is the first of its kind. The fact it went through chronologically and mapped out what Jesus did with an emphasis on it. It's one of those books, you know, my grandfather, he was a Civil War author, and his theory changed the conversation of the Civil War for a number of years. And that was that the Confederate guerrillas prolonged the Civil War by a year. I think that theory's since been debunked, but Brooks would know because he did his master's in Civil War history.
Did he really?
But he did. Yeah. He's actually read my grandfather's book, but it changed the conversation for a number of years. Bruce Catton adopted that. He was one of the famous Civil War authors of his day. But the deal is that, and there's even like my grandfather had a TV show based on it, called the Gray Ghost. If any of you are into like old black and white TV shows, it was like a cowboy show, but about Civil War Confederate guerrillas, obviously not the thing that's popular nowadays. And he wasn't like, you know, my grandfather just said that was his focus of study was guerrilla warfare on the Confederate side. But the thing is that this book, I think, is going to change the conversation. So what was hard about the research is, yes, you know, I'm trying to study as much New Testament gospel material, like analytical material, as I could, but nobody was writing about. Like, I went to libraries just like I did with Plantology. I tried to find, like, everybody would tell me when I described, like, oh, you need to read this guy's book. I bought so many books. I read so many disciple-making books, hoping that I could start quoting people like I did in Plantology, like, who had this, like, I didn't want to make this stuff up, like, and I don't mean make it up, like, it's Jesus' thing, but I didn't want to have to do all that work. When you're the one discovering the paradigm, or uncovering it. I like to think that I'm like Dr. Jones, you know, like just clearing the dust away from the buried Ark of the Covenant that's been there this whole time, just covered up by dust and time. It's so much more difficult than just saying, well, this is what Paul did, and here's a million books that talk about church planting and reference Paul or, you know, teams or whatever. Like, no. This was different. I did not have a bunch of source material. So I had to use, like for example, like in the time chapter, I'm talking about how Jesus emphasized time. I had to show that and demonstrate it with works like that calculated how much time he spent walking in that first year based on the Synoptic Gospels. Then you have to draw the inference. Think of any road trip you've taken. By the end of that, you either want to kill someone or your friends for life, right? You spend a bunch of time. Think of, you know, they spent during daylight hours somewhere in between 2 or 3 months walking in that first year. That was where the time with those six, he's bonding. It's deep relationships. But nobody had written that, you know, that I could find so far. That was, you know, because of that paradigm time teaching tactics. But there was someone that calculated how much he walked in that first year. So that was the kind of stuff. It was like being a detective and stringing together almost like, you know, Jack the Ripper, like, who's Jack the Ripper? Oh, I think he was this doctor. I think he was this actor. I think he was, you know, this person. He was the crown prince, or he was, you know, part of the royal family. Like, you read all these theories. It was like taking all the evidence and stitching it together.
So you talk about time teaching tactics. And, you know, you've kind of always, you've been a framework kind of guy. Is that the framework that you did for Discipology, or is that like, is there more deeper than that?
Sort of. It's funny because back when I was training for North American Mission Board, Matt Lake had said, hey, I want you to make training videos. We need those for the planners. And I said, okay, cool. So you want me to just take the 12 lessons, you know? And Max said, no. I want you to do your stuff. And I said, well, but it won't be like the stuff that you train. And Mac back then, and I don't think Mac would mind me saying this, back then he said, Peyton, all this stuff that we have is like big box model. And they've since revamped it at NAMM, so they're not using big box stuff. But Mac knew, he could see it coming. Dude's a total futurist. He's like, this has a sell-by date, and the sell-by date's quit coming. It's what we have, but we have to revamp it for the world that is. And he said, I want you to do your stuff. So you remember that video I had with the drill instructor? And I'm like, I'm going to teach you about this. It was like total Full Metal Jacket, because each one, like we had a Lord of the Rings one, we had a Star Wars one, we talked values, Sith and Jedi. Like our training videos were funny. But this one was like Full Metal Jacket. I'm in the drill instructor hat. And of course, we're doing jump schools. So I had the full Marine uniform. We went to Camp Pendleton and filmed. And I'm like, listen up, maggot. I'm going to teach you. I think I said something like, I'm going to tear your head off and pull discipleship down your neck. And I'm like, there are three T's. And behind me is this board, and it's all animated. Dan had done all these, right? Remember Dan?
Yeah.
And
he's
so.
He's out here in Texas, by the way.
Yes, I know he is. He's a big boy now, doing big boy pants stuff. But man, what a gifted filmmaker he was. And he made this thing, and I'm like, three T's. T stands for time, you know, and like doing that whole thing. So like back in 2015, I had crafted time teaching tactics as a framework, but probably the you know, and just, it was in Plantology, made a cameo, you know, in the discipleship chapter. And I said back then, disciple making is the engine of church planning. But again, it was like, I had no idea I was going to write discipology. Discipology is a gospel. Gospels. Plantology is Acts, right? But you need the gospels. Jesus didn't just, imagine if Jesus parachuted in and was like, right, guys, we're going to plant churches. Come with me, right? That's what I do. But Jesus is like, no, I can't do that. I'm going to start and just make disciples first. I'm going to mobilize these guys. So we've been getting it wrong. We've spent the last 15 years focused on multiplication, and Jesus didn't do that. So, but okay, I'm going to say something really weird because it's really unique. Our greatest framework out of this book is called the Shalom Star. Because before you can make a disciple, you got to become a disciple. But how do you know what a mature disciple looks like? So what we did is we looked at what Paul said in Timothy and Titus, where he said, hey, if you're going to appoint an elder deacon, make sure they look like this. And all Paul does is describe a mature disciple. You know, make sure they're faithful to their spouse. Make sure they look after their family, right? Like, that's a big deal. Those are the first things Paul says. So when he says above reproach, he lists off what that looks like. Because sometimes people are like, you're supposed to be above reproach and you watch R-rated movies. That's not what he's saying. He lists out what he means by above reproach. These are the things that aren't in line with being a disciple, not being faithful to your spouse, neglecting your family. So what was interesting is when I started doing that, I also was looking at, I asked the question, where did Paul get these from? Where did he get these traits from? Well, Paul was a rabbi. Paul knew the Old Testament really well. And in fact, what we forget is, although Paul met Jesus on the road, he really understood the character of God through the Old Testament. Now, he misunderstood it. He had to rearrange his thoughts based on looking at the God of the Old Testament through the lens of Jesus. And then that redefined who the God of the Old Testament was. Now it really made sense of the Old Testament. But what I found, and this is kind of crazy, I did a ChatGPT search, and I said, I want you to give me every scripture from the Old Testament that the New Testament quotes about God. And I actually just said every scripture. And then I asked it, collate them into topics. And it gave me 8 topics. And I was like, okay, 8 topics. That's cool. One of them was about God being a warrior and all this. And I took that one out. There was one that I can't remember. I took 2 of them out. But they aligned with, and I took them out for a reason. But they aligned with the character qualifications. And that's when the aha dropped. Oh, of course. These character traits are the character traits of Jesus. They're not randomly pulled out of thin air, because the character traits of Jesus are the character traits of God. So that's where like Becoming Disciples, which is a course we ran, because this all was a course before it was a book. I just started making a disciple making course based on this for New Breed. I wasn't going to make a book off it. And people were getting wrecked in these 8-week cohorts, Becoming Disciples. And it was transforming our character. It was rediscovering the character of God to transform our own. And so I go, look, Paul had to rediscover who God was because he thought God wanted him to go kill people. So when he encounters Jesus, he's like, I got to relearn who God is. So he studies the Old Testament scriptures again. And he goes, okay, these are the traits of a mature disciple. This is someone who looks like Jesus. Well, okay. I'm telling you the part B of this story. Part A, the first story was I'd gone on a prayer sabbatical.
Time off from prayer?
I did. I actually took time off to pray.
I said you took time off from prayer.
It's a prayer sabbatical. Praying. I was like, it's prayer stuff. It's getting in the way of everything. I had after like however many years, I think it was 12 years, I had told Ryan and Chris over at Through the Word, I was like, look, guys, I've done an international move. I've written some books. I've adopted a special needs child. And I just listed out all the crap. I said, I've been through a house flood. I've lost my parents. I'm like, I need to take a breather and understand what's coming next in my life and really hear from the Holy Spirit, because I haven't slowed down in recent years to hear from God. And I need to know what's next. And that was, you remember, this is after COVID, and you and I, I was telling you, I don't know if I'm supposed to do church planning stuff anymore. Like, I just haven't run anything by Jesus, like on a big level for a long time. And I used to, in between church plants, I would spend that time just seeking the Lord, and I would get clarity. And so I just told the guys, look, the train's moving too fast. I gotta get off this moving train and just hear from God. Okay. Now this is where it gets weird. But it gets a little New Testament. I started having prophetic dreams. And so the first thing that happened was I start having my first dream on the first day. It was on this prayer sabbatical. I dream what in the book is the most important framework, and it's the Shalom Star, and it measures your maturity as a disciple. And Shalom is an acronym for spirit, honor, affection, learning, others, and mental health. And I was like, this is, and it all coincides with that list. It all coincides with it. It all tied together. But I dreamt this first, this tool to measure balance in your life. And so I was like, so as I'm doing this other stuff, I start seeing the overlap and I'm like, oh my gosh. But it took me 2 hours to write the Shalom Star out. And I also had another tool, which is a major tool at New Breed, which won't appear till Reachology. It's another framework. But I dreamt them, Pete, and they were prophetic. Like, I don't know how, like, it felt like, okay, I got this. This just dropped down like Johnny Mnemonic. It was downloaded. And
just so you know, no one knows who Johnny Mnemonic is.
That's
a Gen X thing, if ever there was one.
It so is. There was a guy, he had like computer chips in his head and they would download all this information. It's like The Matrix when he goes, whoa, I know Kung Fu, right? Downloads straight.
Well, because it's Keanu Reeves.
They're both Keanu Reeves. Yeah. Johnny Mnemonic is not a great movie. You probably shouldn't go watch it. Not because it's bad. It just wasn't good. But dude,
I owned that movie. I loved that
movie. Of course we did. Yeah, of course. Like, it was
one room service. That's a great movie, man.
Oh yeah, man. Well, so, and that was during the time, right? Like Mars at that, like there was this like whole series of like B sci-fi movies that came out. So what happened was, I dreamt that, and I dreamt another tool, and then the prophetic dreams just continued. So not to get all weird, but I will say this book on many levels has been different from any book I've ever done.
Awesome. How did Through the Word become part of the deal?
Well, that's kind of funny because we were sitting around one day at a team retreat, and I had just mentioned, Chris and I had been walking along the beach. We'll get together like once a week and go over our notes with each other, what we're working on, what Bible chapters. And that week, what we actually did was, I was telling him, I don't know how I know this, Chris, but our partnership going forward, like, we're going to reach youth, like, in a big way. And I didn't think it was necessarily just like what the Through the Word was doing or what New Breed was doing. And I didn't understand it yet. But I said, I've been doing this thing called discipology at New Breed. And I think if we mix it together, because you go through John's Gospel, and I had just finished John's Gospel, I said, in an ideal world, man, these two come together and we train people how to sit and go through John's Gospel. Through the Word, we'll do the heavy teaching part on. We'll do the heavy lifting. But I said, I've been talking to young people and they're saying, I would totally use that. But well, fast forward to today, like we're talking to multiple organizations, like some big, you would know them, organizations that deal with young people. And they've flown out here. They've done our Train Like Jesus. They're waiting for discipology, like ready to use it, super excited about it. And it's just happening. I mean, it's just starting to take shape. Like one of those organizations flew a bunch of young people out here in November and it rocked them. It was like a trial for them. It was their second time taking Train Like Jesus. And they came out and they're like, so they as an experiment, brought some of their young people that they're trying to train into disciple makers. And it just wrecked them. And it's like, when I say wrecked, it's like when your paradigm gets shattered and you're like, oh my gosh, I see what I have to do. And that's what's happening with discipology and the beta tests on the audio guys. It's just like 2,979 people responded after the first week out of 3,000. Like, I've never seen those kind of numbers. And they wrote in. And I had a pastor, I told that story last week.
Wait, you're saying
week.
Almost everyone responded?
Yes.
When you say responded, like, would
it
you
It was
ask?
An optional field to oh. write comments. And they all wrote them. And I have the spreadsheet to prove this. It's all right there. We, like, 20, what is that? Like, 21 people did not fill in the comment section. And these comments are, like, amazing. They're like, oh my gosh, I can do it. And each week, each 7 days, they do it again. And I haven't checked the recent, but I'm just telling you, in the first week, it was like people going, oh my gosh, I can do this. I thought this was going to be a lot harder. Like, this is I'm apostolic. So mobilization is, that's like my passion, right? So mobilizing people. That's what Jesus did. That's what Paul did. That's what Wesley did. Mobilizing. So it's just, I feel, Pete, like I'm caught up in like a work of God right now. And so when I'm speaking, like I spoke at a conference last week, midweek, I don't have, like, sometimes when I'm preaching, I get what the Welsh would call the hoil, or like the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I have this authority that I know this is not my own. And you probably remember at Long Beach, like there were times you just knew like God showed up today. When I'm preaching this, like at a conference, it's the opposite. There's like this humility that comes over me, this almost like I'm decreasing so that he can increase. And I felt that when I wrote Reaching the Unreached, I felt that here. I kept feeling like, this is not mine. This is not my work. This is not my material. This is like some, like, I feel like I'm on the verge of something holy. Like, this is his stuff. Nobody gets, in Plantology, I kept telling everyone, it's borrowed brilliance. It's not my intelligence. Do not look at that book and think it's me. It is, lots of awesome people have gone forward to make this. This one, though, sola dea gloria. Sola gratia, but soli deo gloria, like, to God alone be the glory. Like, this is all Christ's. It's his. Like, all I'm doing is peeling back. You know, when you preach, you're supposed to expose Jesus. That's all I'm doing is pulling back the cobwebs and the dust and saying, this is what he did.
Well, I want to continue this conversation, but I know we're out of time. So let me just finish up this podcast by asking, because I know when we're recording this, I have no idea when Brooks actually airs it. The book isn't released yet. So how do they, like, if someone wants to get it, do they pre-order it? I mean, what are they doing right now?
Yeah, there's, you know, for the first time ever, we've decided to do something kind of risky. A bit like Keith Green when he offered his albums, which young people don't know what that is either. But he was a hippie, used powerfully during the Jesus movement. But Keith Green decided, hey, I don't want money to be a barrier. So he said, if you can't afford to buy it in the store, send us a donation and we'll send it to you for what you can afford. Well, there's tiers as well. There are, like, if you decide you want to go and donate to the work of Discipology, because everything's offered for free. Pete knows. I'm the guy that usually is like, hey, everything's free. I just want you to go do this. You can donate and we'll send you, if you want to donate to the work, we'll send you a book. There are tiers if you give more and more and more, you know, we'll bless you in return, because that's what you ought to do. But you can also get it at Amazon. So you could go straight to Amazon, or you can go to discipologybook.com for the donation. Actually, if you go to discipologybook.com, it'll give you the two options, but it'll tell you a little bit more about the book. You'll get to see that video that Pete talked about. So it's discipologybook.com. And I would say go there and just even pray when you go through, like, Lord, do you want me to be a part of supporting this project? Because we're going to keep giving it away. And that's actually what we're saying is, you know, some of you out there, you're like, yeah, man, maybe I can only afford $5. You get a book. Like Oprah, you get a book and you get a book and you go. But some of you be like, you know what? I don't want people to be held back from getting a book. So, you know, I'm going to give $50 or $100 or whatever. And you're actually providing for other people that might not be able. And it's a cheaper book. They made it cheaper. They worked really hard. I got to give them credit. Zondervan worked hard to not make it an expensive book. They fought me on length. They're like, Peyton, we got to make sure that it's not, you know, it was 500 book page book, costs a lot. So we pared it down to 400 pages and we brought the cost down. But it's, yeah, I mean, discipologybook.com. And we'd love for you to see yourself as more than just someone buying a book. I didn't write a book. I feel like I wrote a system, and I wrote a system because the world doesn't need another book on discipleship or disciple making. What it actually needs is a simple pathway to follow to get it done.
Well, while you were writing this book,
I knew it was coming. Well, you know, Pete, I think I know where you're going there.
How did you do all your bookkeeping for your church plant and everything else?
You know, if this is behind the scenes, I can't tell you how much writing this book, how much time it took off me. 16-hour days, weeping at the keyboard. The only joy I had when I put my head down on my pillow at night was knowing that my bookkeeping was completely taken care of, worry-free, by SimplifiedChurch.com.
Wait, that was SimplifiedChurch.com?
That's right, Pete. You might think it's like a bunch of monkeys sitting at a typewriter just bunging out numbers. But no, Pete. They had responsible, gifted, talented, cordial, and polite, and professional individuals on the other side of that, working hard to make sure that, hey, I was in IRS compliance, that I was balancing my budget, that people were getting paid, and darn it, we were sending tax donor receipts.
Well, it sounds like SimplifiedChurch.com has a framework and a system in place.
Absolutely.
Much like Discipology.
Time teaching tactics, SimplifiedChurch.com.
I love it, man. All right, well, I'll sign us out then. Remember, guys, if you want to reach the ones that nobody's reaching, you got to go where nobody's going and do what nobody's doing.
Amen.